Hello, and welcome to episode 19 of the Slouching Towards Thatcham podcast, which showcases the writing and voices of UK parents bloggers. I'm Tim from Slouching Towards Thatcham, a blog about life as a father of three young children. On each week's podcast, I talk to a fellow parents blogger who talks about and reads one of their favourite posts, and I do the same with one of mine. It's as simple as that. Bite-sized chunks of blogging brilliance. This week, I'm delighted to be joined by Sam, who writes the blog And Then the Fun Began. Hi there, Sam.
Hi, Tim.
So to start with, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your family and your blog?
Well, I'm Sam, as you said. I'm married with a six-year-old and three-year-old boys, known as JJ and EJ on the blog. They're both perfect in their way, but like any children of their ages, they can be challenging and exhaust me. I'm not one for glossing over the bad bits. There are bad bits in anyone's life, and sort of a bit of a roller coaster, and my blog reflects this totally. The blog name, And Then the Fun Began, is a reference to that somewhat ironic introduction to parenthood from the moment your first baby enters the world. I started the blog primarily just because I love writing and I once trained as a journalist, but for one reason or another I've never written for publication, so this seemed like a chance to get my own little publication out in the world. And it meant that I didn't have to start from the bottom of the ladder writing about all colour printers like I did once in my work experience on Litho Week magazine.
That's great, thanks. So could you now just give us a little bit of background about the post that you're going to be reading for us today?
Yes, it's called There's a Hole in My Bucket, which is, I think I must have written this on a day when I was in particular sort of headless chicken mode. It's a case of if you're the primary carer at that particular moment and you are on your own and you've got school-aged children and you've got to get them to school, you've got to get yourself to work, everything just gets on top of you. There's deadlines, you know, everyone's got to be somewhere at a specific time. Then things just start coming out of your head as if it's a leaky bucket. So that's basically what this post is about.
Okay, so in that case, without further ado, let me pass the mic over to you for you to read your post. Away you go.
Thank you. I'm one of those people who always likes to know where they stand. I guess it's just as well I'm not a sleepwalker. Nobody wants to suddenly find themselves standing in the downstairs loo wondering what happened to the toaster at 3 a.m. But I digress. Everyone knows that children don't know much and haven't developed a sense of what is socially acceptable. For example, a child I know shouting, "About time too!" the day the headmistress came to open her classroom door a bit late. But of course, children are also commonly thought of as little sponges, soaking up facts and information and ideas and guidelines for life in the same time it takes for a common cold virus to infect every living thing in a 5-mile radius come January. They just have the headspace, they have capacity and potential. Then there's the old folk, the ones who suffer craft moments, which stands for can't remember a flipping thing, on a daily basis and get confused and need help to understand newfangled stuff. And somewhere in the middle, there are the rest of us. Just lately, I've begun to wonder if there is such a thing as reaching your mental capacity, because things are constantly dropping out of the bottom of my head. I'm not talking about losing my marbles or anything, I hope, but just remembering things. Keeping things in mental and physical order. I constantly lose my keys just as I'm herding the kids out of the door, or I'll pick up a nursery invoice to put in my bag so that I can pay on the drop-off, and then, in the rush to get everyone's shoes on, make sure each child has the things they need in their respective bags, get their scooters in the boot of the car, get my own coffee and lunch for work packed, ensure last wee's are done, the washing up is at least in the bowl soaking, the back door is locked, somewhere in the midst of the madness the invoice will disappear. To be honest, it's lucky I've only got two children, and fortunate that neither of them are old enough to have actual homework just yet, because I'm clearly just not an organised enough person to fit in any extra important stuff into my overworked brain. Let's be fair, mums in particular are the butt of quite a bit of gentle jibing, that old cliche about juggling, the constant demands as we switch between teacher, nurse, disciplinarian, chef and dietitian, PA, maid and general dog's body. It's essentially like suddenly taking on 10 different careers without any training in any of them. No wonder we often feel like we're floundering, not getting any of it quite right, and that we've reached our capacity. so that the little things, like remembering to turn off the boiling potatoes after 20 minutes, sometimes just get bumped off the mental bouncy castle, perhaps just knocked off the side by a flying dental appointment, which in turn was taken down by a rogue boiler service. There's a scene in the film, I Don't Know How She Does It, where Sarah Jessica Parker's character lies in bed awake at night, and instead of going to sleep, all the things she has to remember pop into the air above her head, one after the other, with no end. And that's another thing, sleep. It's a well-known fact. Lack of sleep can lead to everything from lack of concentration to memory loss and the inability to see the wood for the trees, or, to use a more appropriate metaphor, the washing machine for the laundry. It's really no wonder that women, mothers in particular, have gained this reputation as being a bit scatty and over-emotional and prone to a stress-related fallout. I may be a very intelligent person who once mastered binary, but you won't generally realise that the day you see me rush harried out of the house and immediately have a fender bender with an unforeseen bollard. Maybe it's time to invest in one of those incredibly patronising mum's planners, or just stick a bucket under the memory and perspective leakage and hope for the best. Is it just me? I'd love to know if any stay-at-home dads ever get the stressy, over-emotional, knackered, out-of-perspective shizzle going on. On the other hand, any mums who have no idea what I'm talking about, good for you, and keep up the good work for the feminist cause. And pretty please, could you come and be my life coach?
Thanks, Sam. As a working dad, I think I've often veered towards the craft end of the spectrum myself when it comes to remembering and carrying out parenting jobs. If you send me down to the shops to buy a couple of items, I'll inevitably come back with seven other things, but I'll have forgotten what it was I was actually supposed to get. And yet I'll still have perfect recall of the kind of trivial facts that are useful only when participating in pub quizzes. I think I'd be happy if there was only one hole in my particular memory bucket. Anyway, Sam, thank you very much for taking the time to join me on this week's podcast.
That's okay, thank you for having me.
If you want to read more of Sam's writing, go to her blog andthenthefunbegan.co.uk or follow her on Twitter at @thenthefunbegan. I'll attach blog and social media links on the show notes over on slouchingtowardsthatcham.com. Sam's post talked about the difficulty of trying to remember everything. My post this week also ponders the subject of memory and how our internet-enabled world means that some part of us will always remain for future generations to look back on and remember. So this post is called Footprints in the Cloud. I do love my gadgets, so for Father's Day I was presented with a new universal remote control. Isaac, who has inherited his father's gadget gene, immediately took a shine to this and promptly spent the rest of the day trying to prise it out of my hands. This led to him asking Heather, "Mummy, when Daddy dies, can I have the remote control?" This sounded rather like a death threat to me, and was rapidly followed up by Toby asking if he could have it when Isaac dies. Don't be surprised if you soon read about police in Thatcham finding a 3-year-old boy clutching a remote control, surrounded by the blood-splattered bodies of his father and older brother. Amusing little anecdote as this was, it did leave me wondering what I would leave behind if I were to be run over by the proverbial bus tomorrow. A wife and 3 kids, obviously. But what else? Out of 7.1 billion people currently living in this world, how much of a legacy would I leave? Or would the essence of my existence soon fade like footprints in the sand? Until comparatively recently, personal legacies have been sparse. We leave behind some financial and property assets, birth, marriage and death certificates, the memories of family and friends, photograph albums, and perhaps a few videos. All these provide little more than a sketchy picture of even a life lived to the full. A few snapshots of specific moments in time, and stories which, like photographs, gradually fade until all that's left is a name and the dates which record our birth and death. All that has now changed, almost in the blink of an eye. 10 years ago there was no Facebook, launched in 2004, YouTube, 2005, or Twitter, 2006. The word podcast, only came into being in 2004. Even WordPress, the world's most popular blogging platform which powers over 60 million websites, including this one, only celebrated its 10th birthday last month. That means in the last 10 years, close to 1 billion people have started posting status updates, audio and video files, 140 character observations, and blog posts about family, sports, TV, and a million other topics to the World Wide Web, to be stored in perpetuity in the digitally networked cloud. Where once we shared only tiny glimpses of ourselves with a handful of people, nowadays millions of us broadcast the minutiae of our lives and thoughts for all the world to read, see, and listen to. The footprints we leave in the digital cloud are larger, more numerous, and more permanent than those we once left in the metaphorical sand. Through social media, we will live on in a form of virtual immortality. Out of curiosity, I googled my own name last night, just to see what footprints I'm leaving in the cloud. Unsurprisingly, given that I have both a relatively unusual name and a fairly broad online footprint, 6 of the 10 results on the first page relate solely to me. It wouldn't take more than an internet connection and 15 minutes to get a good sense of who I am, what I do, and what my interests are via links to my blogs, Facebook and LinkedIn profiles, Twitter, YouTube, and various others. Whether that's a good thing or not is arguable. On the one hand, there are the obvious concerns around privacy and the potential for identity theft. On the other, if I didn't see the benefits in sharing information about myself, then I wouldn't have an active social media profile in the first place. Which brings me in a roundabout way to why I started blogging in the first place. There are many reasons. I actively enjoy writing for the sense of creative process this entails. It's in my nature to be more interested in the journey than the destination. It brings me into contact with interesting people, the most random being singer-songwriter Suzanne Vega, and it's a way of stretching myself and learning new things. But I also feel that I'm leaving something of myself behind for the posterity of my children. Should that proverbial bus come bearing down on me tomorrow, there will be a permanent record of much more than the mere facts of my life. Somewhere in all those tweets, status updates, blog posts, and amusing photos, videos, and bon mots about my kids, there is a piece of the person behind the facts. A small sliver of my soul, if you will. If I were to die tomorrow, I'd like to think my children will forever have a window into who I was, not just what I was. As well as a remote control to fight over. Writers often talk about pouring their heart and soul into their published work. What the internet has enabled is the ability for all of us to do the same in some small way via social media. There is, of course, no emotion in the ones and zeros that are the currency of the digital universe. And yet, importantly, there is. In the intangible virtual world, millions of us are leaving permanent footprints in the cloud for the posterity of future generations. And that's it for this episode of the Slouching Towards Thatcham podcast. If you'd like to listen to either future or previous episodes, you'll find them published on the blog and also on iTunes and various other podcasting sites. You can follow me on the blog at slouchingtowardsthatcham.com, on Twitter at ThatchamDad, and on various other social media channels. You'll find links to all of the above, plus Sam's links, in the show notes on the blog. All that remains is for me to say thank you all for listening to this week's podcast, and hopefully you'll join me again next week. Until then, goodbye.